Morning, Shocker.
Hey, good morning, Chris. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm doing good, thank you.
Good.
Okay. I just dropped off the modeling subcommittee meeting, so I have quite a few people there.
Yeah, usually are. So give her a few minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
So when are you arriving in Amsterdam next week?
I will be there on the 23rd, Sunday.
Okay.
How about you? How about yourself?
I'm getting in the 24th in the afternoon, so that's Monday afternoon. I saw the meeting request go out.
Yeah, I just saw it today, yeah.
Yeah, so I won't be there in time for it. I might catch the end, but...
I got lucky.
Yeah.
I got
that's
lucky
what happens when you schedule it a week out.
Yeah, yes, yes. No, I got lucky because that day made a big difference in terms of the ticket price.
Yeah.
Big difference. So,
yeah, I saw that when I was booking. If I wanted the direct flight, I had to go a day earlier and stay a day later.
Yeah.
But if I was willing to take one hop, then I could cut it a lot closer.
Yeah. Which is not a bad idea. Mm-hmm.
Welcome, everyone. I see some more people are joining. We'll give everybody a few more minutes before we get started. Looks like we're still waiting on a few people switching over from the other call, so we'll get started shortly.
Work and bumped into my friend the lawyer. Huh? I'll tell you.
Okay, it looks like we are critical mass, so let's get started. Let's see, Shocker has the main presentation for today, but before we dive into that, I have just a few housekeeping notes. First of all, for the chair elections, Kenny opened the nomination process last week, and it's going through tomorrow. If you're interested in running for the architecture chair, please submit your ballot or submit your self-nominations according to Kenny's email. Just on a personal note, I am not going to be seeking re-election. I have accepted a position working for a SaaS provider, and I'm going to be leaving Huawei at the end of the month and leaving ONAP at least for a while in my new role. For those of you who are considering it, you know, please put in your nominations on schedule, and then we'll conduct the election following that. Let's see. Second announcement is the face-to-face in Montreal. We do have a page up on the wiki site for that. And Linux Foundation is putting together an official registration page and visa letters. I saw that they were doing a lot of work on that yesterday, so I expect that to be posted anytime now. The other thing, next week is ONS in Europe, and are a lot of people planning to travel, or do we expect to have critical mass on this call? I'm wondering if we should cancel next week's call, or if there are going to be enough people that we should hold it anyways.
Perhaps we should cancel it though, Chris, right? I mean, will you... let's see, it would be 3 o'clock in the afternoon there, or 2 o'clock, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm not sure.
It would be 4 o'clock. It would be 4 o'clock.
4 o'clock, we got the...
4 o'clock, sorry, yes, six hours, yeah. Yeah.
You might have woken up by then, Shaka.
Yeah. No, I'll be downstairs in the lobby.
Exactly.
Many people plan to be at ONS Europe, or are we still going to have critical mass to hold a call? Okay. Okay, I'm not hearing much either way, so let's send it to email. Yeah. I'll make a decision on whether or not to cancel by Thursday. I'll send that out after the call. And then just let me know availability on that. Final housekeeping thing is when I depart at the end of the month, we'll have to get a new bridge since the bridge we're using for the architecture calls is my personal bridge. And I'm going to be canceling that service. So I'll work with Kenny and with the new chair once someone is elected to get that set up. So that's my housekeeping. Let me turn this over now to Shocker with Model Driven.
Okay, thank you, Chris. Let me share my screen. Okay, it's coming up. Okay, can you see it?
Yes.
Okay, let's go ahead and get started. But before I do that, I do want to wish you the best, Chris. You've done a great job. in the community, and you are definitely going to be missed. But I do wish you the best of luck to you and your family and your a new adventure.
Here, here.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay. So, let me start by saying that when I was trying to put this presentation together, I went through the wiki and looking for some insights and trying to see some of the questions that people were asking. And you know, there are a lot of good material there, detailed diagrams and detailed wiki pages and so on and so forth. But I didn't see something or anything that reflected the message that I wanted to convey during this discussion. So I decided to basically put together a set of view graphs, basically one or two view graphs, and hopefully that would be helpful in terms of making sure that we are on the same page in terms of what we mean by data model-driven architecture. It's actually not an architecture, it's an orchestration data model. Right. So let me start by, describing at high level what that means. Right. So if, as you can see on this view graph on this page, and hopefully the message is clear, I have a couple of services, service A, B, and C. And ultimately what I would like to do is to orchestrate these services on one or more clouds. Or maybe two, three cloud infrastructures, but the message or the idea is, I want to use a different service. I want to orchestrate on a different cloud infrastructure, but I want to use the same orchestration infrastructure, including the information model and the data model. Okay. If you have any questions, please feel free to stop me anytime during the presentation. So the first step in the service creation within ONAP is basically an output from the VNF SDK. And that output is in the form of a CSAR file. So we go through the VNF SDK certification process. You have the image, you have the APIs, you have all the artifacts associated with the VNF. And once the VNF has been certified, then out comes a CSAR template or data model that can be inputted into service design and creation. So what I'm trying to depict in this view graph is the following. VNF SDK may have its own data model to do the processing of all the artifacts and all the information that are part of the VNF, but ultimately the output is going to be one common data model or an orchestration data model that will be used to orchestrate any of these services. So in theory, this data model can change. Go ahead.
Is that a post SDC thing that you're showing there, or that's pre SDC? This is input to SDC?
Yes, this is a pre SDC.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. So conceivably, this data model can change for VNF SDK if you want to add new features and so on and so forth, right? But ultimately, what VNF SDK produces is going to have to be this data model that could never change unless we all agree to change it, right? Because this change will have significant impact on the rest of the components downstream.
So you're saying the VNF descriptor model.
So So, yes, said in a different way, that VNF, the VNF, this one over here, the CSAR, is a VNF descriptor minus some things, if you will. And I'm going to get to it in a second and take you from a VNF descriptor to basically an NSD, which is a network service descriptor, which is basically VNFD plus some other stuff, right? So, Andy, the comment that I made a couple of weeks ago was that there are service, some data models, right, that are related to some components that we could change and we could modify and we could, as long as we have an agreement with our partners, and whatever changes we make over here to enhance the functionalities of the component, this output is always going to have to be the same unless we agree to change it. Okay? So the note over here is same info model is used to orchestrate any of these services. So service brown, service green, and service whatever that color is, then they will use this format to basically produce this service, which happens to have, let's say over here, 5 VNFC, this one has 2, and this one has 3, and then all the virtual link descriptors or virtual link resources that are needed to connect all these virtual functions together.
Shakar, this is Raghu.
Hi.
Are the violet, green, and brown different instances of the same, for example, firewall service, or is it different service types, meaning firewall versus supersonic pigeon versus ice cream service?
Exactly. The brown is the supersonic pigeon, right?
Okay.
Green, the green is virtual EPC.
Okay. So totally the VNF, different. The VNF CSAR that you're mentioning, you're saying it's a superset IAM of all possible services that one could be realized.
Well, I mean, slightly different. This is the VNF. This is the VNF CSAR, right? I haven't gotten to the service description CSAR.
Okay.
I mean, the service design and creation CSAR, right? So let me move on to the next view graph. So,
The three services are created by the SDC.
I'm going to get there in a second. Yes, okay. Jamil, I'm going to get there in a second. So, just to make the point a little bit clearer, right? So, this CSAR is actually this Tasca CSAR. Once the VNF, the virtual function or the cloud native virtual function has been approved, then the CSAR goes into SDC, right? And then the magic happens within SDC, right? Which I'm going to describe in the next view graph. But this, that first step that I just described is this, right? How do I certify the VNF? How do I package the VNF, and how do I pass the VNF to SDC? This Tasca format has to be, this Tasca template has to be, from a format perspective, would have to be the same. Obviously, the contents would have to be different.
So what I think I hear you saying is a little different from what I've heard other people saying.
Okay.
And this could be my ignorance, please excuse me. I think you're saying that the result of the VNF SDK is supposed to come out with one normalized representation of that VNF package that then gets onboarded into SDC. So if we were saying if we're going to support multiple different formats for bringing in a VNF, it sounds like it would need to be prior to the VNF SDK. So if you're bringing a Tosca-based one, if you're bringing a Heat-based one, it's the VNF SDK that's going to normalize that down into a single product format that then SDC could ingest. That's what you're saying, right?
Well, I mean, I think there is a few levels of abstraction over here, right? The VNF, the CSAR, the task of CSAR that is representing the approved VNF is independent of whether that VNF is being orchestrated by Heat or by Tosca. Right. This part over here is to certify that the VNF that we're trying to orchestrate behaves in a certain way. And Chesla, I'm going to get to the point where I'll describe it. As a matter of fact, I could describe it right now, right? As the VNF, the CSAR, the VNF CSAR is basically uploaded into SDC, then SDC, you start to create the service within SDC. The service that you create and the CSAR that you generate within SDC is a different CSAR than this one, right?
Right.
It represents, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with you.
Okay. So what you're doing is you're using the service design and creation to take the input, one of the many inputs, which happens to be the Tosca model of that VNF, and you're adding to it many artifacts, including the service recipe, the heat template, if the orchestration is done through heat, the Tosca template to do the orchestration, if Tosca is going to be orchestrated, the virtual link description, all the good stuff, all the rest of the components, if you will, or the rest of the artifacts that you need to actually orchestrate the service. But my point is, without the input from the VNF SDK, you really don't have a VNF to orchestrate. Is that clear?
What do you mean by CNF?
CNF is cloud native network function. Ultimately, we're going to have a cloud native network function, Jamil.
Those are the container based VNFs.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, microservices, container based VNFs, so on and so forth. Right. I mean, I just want to generalize it.
Chakar, I have a query here. So I thought that the link between VNF SDK and SDC is already there. So I'm just trying to understand what is the new thing that you're trying to convey.
This is a little bit forward-looking in terms of VNF SDK.
Yes.
So right now we have the packaging tools for Tosca-based VNFs, and we have test tools for both Tosca and Heat. This is a little bit forward-looking with the conversion. And putting everything into a common format.
This is Ramkeet. So in the thought of forward looking, should SD and C be considered optional? Because SD and C is supposed to be a global controller, but right now it's also used for IP address allocation and all those functions. But in the longer term, should it be considered separate component or of independent of SD and C, I mean IPAM and other functions.
So Rampi, I think this is definitely a separate discussion, right? And you know, I don't want to dodge the question, but you know, I think there has to be a different discussion that we need to have collectively as a team to answer your question. I don't know the answer yet. My short answer is probably not, but my focus on this one with this presentation is trying to make sure that the orchestration data model, right, is well understood within ONAP, so that when we, as we move forward, at least we're on the same page in terms of how do we define a service, how do we define an orchestration model, and what the impact would be if we were to change one or the other.
Shakar, that's perfect. All I'm saying is maybe we could just table it, I mean, along with this presentation, as this is, since this is forward looking, that's why I just brought up that point. Maybe worth tabling it and then sort of tracking it. That's all I said. So that, you know, ASO, APSI, for example, A&AI, they're spot on, right? I mean, they have to be there. But this one is a little debatable in the longer run, whether it's like we continue as STNC or split as functions, especially since we're looking at functional decomposition. So, yeah, that's all I'm. That's all I wanted to bring to attention to the team.
Hey, Chakra, it's Roger. I have another question. So I believe it was last week we talked about the multi-cloud, where they're going. And the intent there was to use something like Kubernetes as the management system and to enable all of the functionality that it provides. And that's quite different than the functionality that would be provided via OpenStack and a heat-based solution. So my assumption, and maybe it was a bad one, was that the artifacts that come in with a VNF based on virtual machines managed by OpenStack would be quite different from the artifacts coming in on a CNF that would be managed by Kubernetes. But it seems like you're implying that there would be a common format now for all of that. So where am I going wrong here?
So I'm actually not making that assumption, though, Roger. What I'm trying to, I think my attempt was to, or my intent was to make sure that we understand where we are today, so that if we were to add the Kubernetes orchestration, if you will, then it would be, it may become easier for us to understand the impact on all the different components within the chain, if you will, right, or the orchestration chain. I gave the the idea of the Kubernetes orchestration and control some thought last week. I think there is a significant amount of work that we need to do collectively, trying to understand how it can be implemented, and then what the impact would be on the current or the existing orchestration flow.
Shekhar, Srini here. To the Roger's point, what I understand from this picture is that, I mean, normally Tosca is used in two ways, right? Two purposes. One is to describe CSAR itself, CSAR format, and second is to describe VNFD. So what you are saying in this case is that you're only talking about Tosca's CSAR, right? Not the VNFD. VNFD could be Kubernetes artifacts or heat artifacts.
That's right.
Maybe Tosca VNFD.
That's right. Okay. What I'm describing right now is the existing process. Right. The only forward-looking piece that I added is the container-based NF. That's all. Right. Because I wanted to keep this is a part of the future looking work that the VNF SDK team is doing. And I wanted to highlight it over here just to as a reminder that we need to keep that in mind as we progress through the through the releases and through the feature list. Right. But what I'm actually describing over here is the existing process. And to your point and to Roger's point. Once we
get to the question. So yes, to me, it looks like it is happening today. And that's the reason I asked, like, what is the new thing that?
I mean, if it is confusing, then I could certainly take it out, but assume that it's not there. And I just, would need to think about it to see what the impact would be on the CSAR data model that gets basically generated and how SDC would handle it once CNF support is included. But for now, for this discussion, assume that CNF is a future looking, but what I'm trying to describe right now is the VNF, the VNF orchestration flow. And I kind of understand, the spirit of your question in terms of, do we maintain the same, I think that's what you're saying, do we maintain the same flow or would we need to make significant changes in order for us to support the container-based VNFs, NFs.
Chakra, when we say approved, it's approved by VNF SDK?
Yes.
Or the VVP?
No, this is the this is approved by the VNF SDK framework.
And it's input for the SDC.
Sorry, just one second.
It's a information model. The input is the information model.
The input for the VNF SDK, and you, are you talking about the input into the VNF SDK?
No, the you mentioned here between the approved VNF.
Yes.
The output is Tosca CSR. The Tosca CSR is the information model of the VNF.
The Tosca CSR is the information model of the the VN, of the approved VNF. That's right.
And what is the role of the VVF, VVP, the validation, VNF validation?
That's creating the heat scripts, and those are used inside VNF SDK as well.
Yeah.
Validating heat-based VNFs.
Sorry, go ahead.
Okay, when you say here VNF SDK, to include the VNF validation.
Yes, Mikhail Jezikal brought that over in the Beijing release.
Okay.
I think the intent of thing is that he wants to convey that the VNFs are CNFs that are generated from VNF SDK. That's what he meant as approach.
So, and this is the design. Then the SO can... we can instantiate the VNF using heat or Tosca, or here it's only Tosca.
So Jameer, let's move it up a level, right?
Okay.
So what I'm trying to convey is that whatever output, and this is today's environment, right? In tomorrow's environment, maybe we have instead of heat, we have Tosca, we have CloudFormation, we have whatever, right? Whatever scripting language you want, right? But the point that I'm trying to convey over here is that when the VNF and let's say the CNF and or get certified, the output from that certification is going to be a information model. My point is that information model is always going to be the same, except the contents are going to be different.
So just one question when you say information, you mean data model of some type really there? Information is a bit more abstract. Something more concrete, it's populated, has values, it's...
Well, so I'm choosing my words carefully.
And the right word is yes.
Yeah, it could be, right? the difference between, I mean, in my mind, right? Information model is requirements, data model is implementation, right? That's how I look at it.
In a way, yeah. But yeah. I mean, here you're talking about, this is real thing for a VNF. It's a specific instance. It's not something abstract from. Abstract's
absolutely.
Not bad, but it's something I can execute on.
Just to give you an idea, I give you an example. Within the CSAR, you will have a reference to the image of that VNF. So that's real, right? That's data.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, very good. And another question, when you say today, I know there was talk about also having some sort of runtime SDC, runtime catalog. That would be something that is not in the picture because it's not today, but doesn't change this picture in reality because that's a little bit somewhere slotting in on the right-hand side of this picture, right?
I think so. And the reason I say I think so because I'm not 100% sure that I fully understand what a runtime catalog is.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
But it would be on the right side of the diagram. It is, in essence, a copy of the catalog in the runtime environment.
It has to be. Paul, from my perspective, it has to be to the right, but I just don't fully understand it, so I just don't have an opinion on it, that's all.
Okay, all right.
If you do,
basically, it's essentially what's defined in SDC gets pushed at when it's complete, gets pushed into the runtime catalog. So it's available for use in the runtime environment.
Oh, okay, that's fine. So basically, what you're saying is that once this process over here is completed, and now SDC generates yet another CSAR file, right? Totally different CSAR file, which happens to be the service, and then triggers these components to upload the service, the CSAR from the catalog. That's what you're calling the runtime model?
That's right.
Okay.
I don't want to make this bigger than it is, but I think as the runtime catalog gets worked through at some point, it's probably going to offer more capabilities than just that, but you could view it that way right now.
That's right. That's correct. That's the main purpose right now.
Yeah. Okay. Just to complete this picture, right? So SDC.
Probably tee up the runtime catalog as another item to discuss this. In this forum, I think it was discussed a while back.
Okay. John, let me ask you a question. So, or Paul. So, when a trigger is sent to, let's say, for example, let's pick on SDNC, and SDNC downloads the CSAR, and then basically processes the specific objects that are specific to SDNC. What you're calling the runtime catalog is what SDNC would store internally? Or is that going to be stored somewhere, some the common
artifacts,
place?
In the end state, the artifacts would be distributed from the design catalog that you see in the orange drum would be synced with a runtime catalog, right? And then so all the artifacts would be in the runtime catalog. And then the various components, the artifacts that they need to process any transactions, you know, will be pulled from that runtime catalog.
Okay.
So there's portions of the Tosca, Tosca file, that the template that the SDNC needs, it will be in that runtime catalog. You know, any of the, you know, even the SDNC designed, you know, Yang models, etc., and those templates are also would be in the runtime catalog.
And John, who do you think should be populating the runtime catalog when it is created? How does it get populated?
It would start from the design studio.
Mm-hmm.
Right? SDC will have a design catalog, right? So that, you know, any changes to that design, any of the artifacts will be deposited into the design catalog, and then mm-hmm. the runtime and the design catalog will sync.
Okay, so should I assume that SDNC, for example, would pull the CSAR from the design catalog and update the runtime catalog for that portion?
No, I think that there will be a distribution of the artifacts from the design catalog to the runtime catalog.
So
the various runtime components will be notified that, hey, you know, there's a change to the, you know, to the, you know, to the catalog that mm-hmm. artifacts that matters to you, you know, then those components will pull from the runtime.
Okay. So this is like a future capability that we're working on, right?
Right, I think that we don't have the runtime catalog even yet.
Okay, fine.
Built at least that first version.
Okay, that's fine, thank you. Okay.
Hi, this is Thanasis Kyprolis from JBL. I have a maybe basic question, sorry for my ignorance.
Sure. No, that's fine.
Is there provision for, so the left-hand side, maybe I should preface my question, the left-hand side, you know, the one that the owner that comes and describes, let's say, the CNF, right?
Mm-hmm. So
they may be aware of some Kubernetes feature. Then the right-hand side, what's off the screen beyond SDNC, for example, is the Kubernetes itself, which again is aware of the feature. So is there a provision for a pass-through of some configuration as opaque through the systems from the left to the right without the ONAP infrastructure having to actually know about that feature without that having to be added to the ONAP model?
Well, I think that's what we call, you know, a VNF specific all artifacts. So they can be added as the service is being developed, right, and created over here in this section over here of the in this component, right? So anything that is specific to a service that is not part of the data model then would become part of the artifacts.
Okay, and it just gets forwarded.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Okay.
Thank you. Anyway, you're welcome. Any more questions? Okay. Sorry.
Did you mean to stop sharing?
No, I'm trying to get it back. I'm using a different exactly. Just give me a second, sorry. Okay. So the next step of the orchestration chain, if you will, now that VNF SDK produced the VNF CSAR, right? It gets passed on to SDC, Service Design and Creation, and it has its own data model. And it takes the CSAR that came in from the VNF SDK and adds some stuff to it, artifacts, right? Whatever it needs to add. And now you have an SDC CSAR that is common across all these services, right? So VNF SDK creates or passes on the a template. SDC processes the template, adds to it all the artifacts that we just talked about, and now you have yet another CSAR that gets produced, or template that gets produced and stored in the service catalog. But the point over here is that in the timeline, you start with the VNF, and then SDC processes the VNF template, and it creates a service template. So the service-specific data and resources can be added and instantiated during orchestration or service creation. This one over here I will modify, but that's the point over here, right? Any questions?
So that service is representing the internal data model in ONAP fundamentally.
Though this, not yet, right? This is not yet, Chesla. This is the format. If you mean the internal data model within ONAP, if you mean SDC, then the answer is yes. So right. SDC has
it. What SDC is going to produce, which we're hoping that as we evolve, will allow all the components to be a better model-driven solution than it is.
Yes. But in today's environment, as it exists today, there is a CSAR that gets generated by SDC that is well understood and can get processed by all the other ONAP components.
Right. But that includes the service model, the service descriptor model. Right, as well as the resources supporting that service.
Everything, if you've looked at, if anybody has had a chance to look at the CSAR file that SDC produced, that's what I mean by it. It has a bunch of objects. I think I have a copy somewhere I could show to you, by the way.
And the VF modules.
It has the link descriptors, the nodes, the types, all that good stuff is there, including all the artifacts that are specific to those VNFs and those and the service that we're trying to instantiate. So regardless of what service, whether it is what color, this CSAR format is the same. The contents are different.
So that's the SDC Tosca AID document is where that's specified.
Correct? That's right. That's okay. Right. That's right. Okay.
Shaka, just a clarification question. So, I mean, I'm trying to understand. I don't know much about SDC. Mm-hmm. A service can contain multiple VNFs, right? That means there could be multiple VNF CSARs for a given service. So what you are showing at the end of SDC is that it is a service consisting of multiple VNFs?
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. So it's reflected over here, right? The green has three VNFs, right? The brown has two. The purple has five, right? I did that on purpose, right? So what this CSAR would have is a description of all of the VNFs and all the artifacts that are part of this service.
Mm-hmm. Hey, but one question there.
Okay.
We have same information model is used to orchestrate any service as a statement down the right, but I have two information models up the top. You've got the VNF one, and then you've got the SDC, the output of the SDC.
But it's bundled into one, right?
It's bundled into one. Okay, so there is, yeah, okay. Now, what's VNF and what services, I guess, is what I'm trying to ask for.
Well, I mean, that's why I put the oblong, right, around the what came from the VNF SDK plus some other stuff, right?
Right. But then you've got service description A, and then you got, that goes straight through.
Yeah.
And you've got the I'm just trying to understand your drawing technique, actually, because I think I understand how this works.
what I'm trying to say, I don't know if I made it a little bit more confusing or not, or, my intent was that you get the VNF the VNF Tosca from, or the model from the VNF SDK, you take that and you package it with some other artifacts that are added by SDC.
Right.
The point that I'm trying to convey is it's not the same, right? It's
okay.
This VNF and this template plus some more models or some more artifacts.
Right, and that template could actually be used in another service as well with some other artifacts.
Absolutely. It's exactly the same. It's the same structure, same objects. But you may have one object in one and you have five objects in another. But it's the same structure. The if I go back over here, when SDC puts the service, right, in the service catalog, when SO or SDNC reads that CSAR, they could read any CSAR and they know how to parse each block of that CSAR that belongs to each component.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a well-defined structure. Everybody can read it, and everybody knows how to process it.
Yes, that's the well-defined internal model.
Yep. Okay. Any other questions?
Shekhar, maybe your terminology is a little bit confusing for me.
Okay.
You mentioned just now that the CCCSR contains VNF and the corresponding artifacts. Right, but you also mentioned that STC CSAR not only contains one VNF but multiple VNFs that are required for a given service.
That's right.
So are both are true?
Yes, I mean so the VNF SDK, the output is not only one VNF CSAR, many VNFs, whatever VNF, any VNF that you need to orchestrate either individually or as part of the of a service would have to be certified by VNF SDK and passed on to SDC. So you could have five VNFs that came through VNF SDK that basically make up one service, and SDC will package them all together into one CSAR.
But just to clarify, it's not one package coming out of VNF SDK. Each many VNF package, is individual.
Yeah.
So yeah, from VNF SDK, that in this example which you mentioned, there are five VNFs. That means VNF SDK would have five VNF CSARs outputted.
That's right.
And those five VNFCs are given to HTC, and then HTC also given saying that this service consists of these five VNFs. Then HTC creates one single CSAR for an entire service consisting of five VNFs there inside.
Exactly, that. Exactly.
And each so VNF can contain its own artifacts, right?
That's right.
Okay, got it.
A firewall and load balancer, for example, right? You certify them. You end up with one VNF CSAR for each, but then SDC package them all together. It depends on the service that you're trying to create, right? You bring up the SDC portal, and the SDC portal says, I need a firewall and load balancer, and I need to connect the two via two virtual links, right? So the SDC CSAR would have the two VNFs, and you'll have the virtual link descriptors included, plus all the artifacts associated with each and every VNF. And that would become the SDC CSAR that gets stored in the SDC service catalog. And then you could use one of the firewall via a CSAR to actually create yet another service, if that's what you wanted to do. Okay. Any other questions?
Shakar, this is Manoj. I have one question.
Sure.
So when we say model driven, so the way I look at is two, three different aspects. One is what you mentioned as realizing a service or VNF from mm-hmm. a model. The other view is that model-driven microservices. So we control the behavior of internal components of ONAP through certain models. And the other aspect is model-driven deployment. So do we need to consider all three or just the part you mentioned?
I think for now, for this discussion, we're probably the first part is at least that I try to focus on. For this presentation, but there may be some opportunities to discuss the points that you just raised. But at least my intent for this discussion is to take, and you could see the emphasis is on the data model, not on any of the components. And what I wanted to do is trying to clarify what is meant by service and how the service goes through the stages or in each and every stage. And that stage has a specific data model, and those data models are maintained for or are common across all the services. That's all. That was my intent for this discussion.
Hey, hi, Shakar. Sorry, this is Parviz. I'm driving. Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
One clarification is you mentioned the network service that is defined by the eComp implementation versus the network service is defined by SD and VFC. Now, all those, the internal templates, when you hand over from SO to NFU in VFC, those templates are they common or they are different?
No, they're different. They're different. I was just using it as a reference point, though, Parviz, but within Etsy Mano, right, they have the notion of a CSAR as well. And that CSAR yep. is passed on from the OSS, right? But the CSAR within Etsy Mano has two main components, at least that I know of. One is the VNFD. The VNFD is part of the NSD, and then you have some other descriptors within the NSD, right? But even though they're both in a CSAR format, I mean, Tosca CSAR format, they have nothing in common. Now, moving forward in future releases, there's an opportunity to look at each and every, at the format of the data model and see if there is a way to, if there are some opportunities to make them common. But that's not what I'm looking at this point in time. But the only point here. Yeah, go ahead.
I would argue that the VNFC, so IAM here, is the same as the same scope as the VNFD, and there has been discussions in the modeling group to work on that alignment, right? And then I agree with you that the souls are NSD is a different
discussion.
But Steve, you already earlier mentioned that the data model versus the information model. That's very tricky, and Shekhar, you said that we don't want to get into that debate, but eventually we want to have a common, like, information model, but we don't have it today, correct?
My answer to this, though, Parviz, is that this is a different discussion, right? I have a totally different opinion.
We don't have to worry about that.
I think the biggest difference between the two is how the execution of the CSAR file or the CSAR template takes place versus anything else, right? So that's how the CSAR gets processed, the NSD gets processed in the Etsy-Mano versus how the CSAR gets processed within ONAP are slightly different, but I mean we could have that discussion at a different forum. But for this one over here, what I'm trying to convey is that you have, as you go, you're going through the timeline or the state transition, you have a model that gets an orchestration model, I want to call it, that gets transformed into yet another one, and then the next step, unless there are some more questions. The next step is for SO to do the orchestration, and in the process of doing the orchestration is to create the service instance for that service in ANAI. And that's yet another, that's the data model. That's what I'm calling the data model.
I just caught up to you there, Shaker. I just saw the little IMs and stuff. Okay. My opinion is that once you've taken something out of UML, basically, and you've put it in something like Tosca, you have transitioned from information model to data model.
Yes.
That CSAR that's coming out of SPC is a data model, and if I have my magic wand, that data model is expressive enough, or at least has related entities that are surrounding it, such that it will permit the other components to derive what they need to derive in order to do their functions. So they might, all the components might have a certain internal representation of the data model. Let's say that they need to denormalize something for performance or something like that, right? So they might have their own stuff internal to them, but once I've left UML and I've gone to a Tosca CSAR, whether it's the thing that's imported to SDC or the thing produced by SDC, those items are represent data models. Now the thing that you have marked as service instance data model in ANAI there, to me that's the inventory representation, which should be very easily trackable back to what the SDC CSAR produced. It isn't today. I mean, people basically know through tribal knowledge, what is what. But, we should be seeking to evolve our global types in our internal data model, which is part of that service SDC CSAR, to be able to use that to drive what we see in ANAI, or at least what's communicated by ANAI and what's communicated by the different components. Like I said, it's a normalized representation or denormalized representation, whatever they need to do, but at least the way they talk to one another, that's where you've got your common data model, and it should start with what's produced by SDC.
All good points. Definitely, right, Chesla. So that's not an issue at all. So I label these IM and IM and DM, right? And we could collectively agree or disagree on my labeling, right? And if we need to change it, that's fine. But I think my intent is if we all, if as a team, we believe that something should be labeled IM versus DM and vice versa, that's fine. We could change it. But from this point on, let's make sure that we all understand it the same way. My attempt over here was to put a stake in the ground, see if we all agree to it. If we do, that's fine. If we don't, then we'll modify it. But then as we move forward, let's make sure we use the same terminology, because in different forums, we're using different terminologies and we're confusing ourselves, right? So
yeah, I definitely there's a level of confusion for sure.
Exactly.
Not just information model, data model, but the onboarding model and the internal model.
That's right. So my point over here is, regardless of what service you're trying to instantiate, you are going to create a service instance within ANAI, and that's what SO does, right? Through ANAI creates that service instance that would be common across all these services, right? And that service instance has some elements, obviously, from the VNF data model, has many elements from the SDC data model, but it has many, many elements that are generated during the orchestration, right? And for each service, like I mentioned, the format of the service instance is exactly the same.
Right. And what we'd like to see from some of the stuff we've been noodling on in the data modeling calls, we would like to see that there's properties, right? If you look at a Tosca world, you've got properties that fundamentally are feeding the process of the orchestration. What every one of those properties will become an attribute after the fact, which is, okay, well, you gave me this property. You said it could be in a range of 1 to 10. Well, I picked 4, so that property is now an attribute with a value of 4. In addition, there can be attributes that are not known really as inputs or as things that are sent into the process, but you know that they are produced by the process.
Yeah.
So those start as attributes and they end as attributes.
Yeah.
And one of the things I've been trying to push is what we produce from SDC, whether it comes out in that SDC, these are there, or whether there is something that happens to potentially add attributes, known, agreed upon, you know, architected attributes that are added to that data model as the post-process of the SDC distribution step. And that's why I was alluding to earlier, the runtime catalog may have extra stuff in it. I would like to see that runtime catalog could then express not just those properties that are in that CSAR, but also all of the attributes that all of the ONAP components have agreed need to belong to all those different global types in order to have this common model. Because what that then allows you to do is say, oh, if I have something represented as a network function here and it has all of these properties and attributes, then I know within my ONAP component, I should expect to see those properties and attributes as fields in my data or as fields in my API. And then we actually start getting into a world that is much more model-driven.
Yeah. I mean, all good points, right?
All good points, right?
Along those lines, right? What I'm trying to understand, what you just described is definitely something that we need to think about and make sure that the modeling subcommittee is working on it as well. But what I was trying to do, or at least my intent, like I said earlier with this presentation, is to baseline where we are and baseline the terminology and the acronyms that we're using, so that as we move forward, we don't talk past each other.
Okay. Shaker, one last question before you move on. Okay.
Okay.
Of course, I'm still driving, but I look at later on. If your data model, let's say you have two data models, data model 1, data model 2, before you really put it in ANAI, you want to define a common data model and then do the inventory, correct? You cannot really do
So if you see over here, though, the service instance, right, you cannot violate that assumption. Anything that SO, the way it works over here is that when SO starts the orchestration, the very first thing that it does is it creates an empty service instance or a shell record for the service instance, right? That record is always going to be the same for every service, right? So you don't have, when we say data model, whatever data model we want to use, maybe perhaps over here or over here or over here, yeah, maybe they can be different. But when you produce the service instance, which I'm calling data model, within an AI, that service instance is always the same for every service.
I see.
When SO decides, creates the empty record, SO doesn't look at it and say, oh, what type of service I'm orchestrating. It says, I need to create a service instance. I know I have the JSON. I know all the objects that I need to create, and it creates all these objects, right? And it's always the same. It's the same for every service.
Shaka?
Yes.
Yes, Steve.
Hey, Steve, I forgot to tell you that everybody can ask a question except you.
Okay, that's that button. I think we call that a demo feature.
Okay.
I don't agree with the IMDM change here, but okay, I think we need to come back to that. And I appreciate you actually sort of putting the discussion onto the table, because I think it's more important to understand the scopes, and then we can come back, because there can be a VNF IM and a VNF. As well, and so on there. But one thing that you kind of hint at here, and you know, when SO is building up the representation in the network, and it's populating the service instance there in the inventory there, the structure which it can populate into is determined by the model that AIA has and exposes on its interface, right?
The
allowed relationships, the allowed terminology, the allowed objects you can represent into that are kind of defined there, and we kind of tie that to a release. And I think this is one thing you were trying to get to at some stage, right? So when we are doing the service design SDC, maybe we need some type of line that goes from SDC all the way down to AIA already there, in order to say, okay, here's some new attributes that you need to be prepared for.
Well, so again, this is future, right? What I'm trying to show today is, in essence, the transformation of an information model into data model for a specific service, right?
Right. And what I said was adjacent to that, I agree.
Okay. So again, there are some assumptions that I made, but there are some facts, right, that we can't at least, as they exist today, what I'm trying to do is document them. And the point that I made earlier to Pravis is that when SO creates a shell record, that shell record has a specific format, right? If you want to test a service over here, right? And I believe in today's environment, what they do is they use a robot scripts, and these scripts create actually service instance based on the service instance objects and the JSON file and the JSON objects that you have. It's always the same. Obviously the attributes, the value. And to me, that's the point that I'm trying to convey, right? You take the VNF, you process it, you pass it on to SDC, and SDC does some things to it, passes it on to the infrastructure, and out comes a service instance that reflects all the attributes, including all the resources that have been assigned by not only ANAI, and now I'll move over to the next one, but now I add SDC, and the difference is that SDC adds something to ANAI as well to complete the service instance and therefore the orchestration of the service. Right, that is really my point, right? To start the discussion, and there are some steps over here that are facts, right? SO creates a service instance. We can't change it, right? At least that's the way it is right now. If we as a community want to change it in the future, that's fine, but at least let's understand how it is done today, and then so that we know the assumptions that we're making into moving forward will be the same assumptions across the board, across all of our, you know, members, instead of somebody misunderstanding how either SO, SDNC, or VNF SDK works. Hmm. Okay, so again, so I called it the orchestration data model because I want to stay away from these data models, right? So with SDC, I have a Yang model, right? I have a Yang model for every VNF has a different Yang model. It has no impact on the service instance that I've created. However, SDC knows how to process its own data model. SO has its own data model, so it can't process it. You could change it, but as long as the output, at least as it stands today, as long as the output is still the same service instance in the same JSON format as JSON objects, you basically did not impact the logic. Where it becomes a little bit tricky is, to your point, Steve, if I want to add an additional JSON object to the service instance, right? Can I do that, or should I be able to do that? The second is going back to the container-based network functions. If I want to support the container-based VNFs, what changes do I make, not at this level, but at this level? Okay?
It's a nice slide set, actually. You got lucky.
Yeah. Thank you.
And one of the things that I've been trying to push or guide, whatever you want to call it, is you know, we need to have this common model that in essence expresses sort of the things that we all know and we all agree to are the same for everything, right? So let's say service instance is an example of that. Network function is another example of that. But then from network function, you need, and Andy Baxter always used to say this, you need the way to safely extend the model, which is you know, how do you add that extra stuff? Like you were talking about, like another JSON structure or something. You have things that make that network function specific. Well, certain things we'll decide as a community to say, well, you know, here's some common properties that we should put in, and that will help us all as service providers using this stuff be able to figure out what these things are, and we can all agree on those. But then there might be something that is, you know, very specific to what's going on in this particular VNF. Well, software needs to know how to work with data, right? So we can put things in place that say, when I do a put to ANAI and it contains 15 fields in it, and 12 of those fields are the ones that we've all agreed on that should be common model fields, but there's these extra three, okay? You can write things that will take that data and it will store it, but you still have to decide, like, okay, just because I've stored it, what software knew how to set it, what software knows how to interpret it, right? So you have to kind of have in your head, you know, how much is model driven, and then how much is this sort of the extra stuff that I have to add if I want to introduce this thing that has this extra stuff? Mm-hmm. And do I get to do that addition? Does it have to be something that a computer science or developer person has to write, or do you find some way to handle that that doesn't necessarily require a release of your software, but is more like an interpreted thing or a policy or something like that, right?
Yeah. I mean,
it's another level of indirection of design of the system, or model-driven part of the system. That's right.
That's right. But the key is to understand where we are now. Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
Steve, go ahead. And Shocker, this was great. I'm so glad you did this. You know, one wonder that I've had, and again, this could be my ignorance in interacting with ONAP, lots of parts of the community, because I've been mostly in the modeling stuff, is we've been working through what we call the sort of target data model. And mm-hmm. you know, it would be in the whole point is to try to achieve what's going on here, which is this more model-driven, very common set of things that all the components know what they are. It's not like every component has to map, you know, my name for it is this, so I'm going to map it to my name. You know, try and get ourselves so that we're, it's as easy as possible, as frictionless as possible to move the data through and to have the logic act on it. Mm-hmm. Does it make sense to come in front of the architecture subcommittee? Does it make sense to go to the use case subcommittee? Like, how do we take this work that we're doing, which will require changes in the components, right? Significant mm-hmm. changes in order to be able to handle this stuff. But in the goal of getting us all where we want to be, where this stuff is more model driven and less, you know, costly to turn out new services and to have all the, you know, all the vendors that are providing VNS can be as expressive as they want in a sense of giving us more and more functionality to use, right? Good for everybody.
Absolutely. I mean, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but the point that I'm trying, that I want to make is, I think this is a discussion that needs to be had, right, in terms of where we are today, right? The assumption, the premise of ONAP is to be able to orchestrate any service using the same orchestration model. I think we all need to understand it the same way, and we all need to take a look at it and say, does the existing platform support the intent of the platform? Can it support all these services, right? And if the answer is yes, then we're, at least we know where we are. If the answer is no, then we need to ask the question, how do I enhance the platform to achieve its promise, right? Ultimately, within ONAP, I mean, I understand that we're in all these features and so on and so forth, but ultimately, at least short term, we need to get to deployability, right? And to me, deployability is to be able to give ONAP to a service provider and have that service provider create the service and deploy that service with minimum manual intervention, right? I don't think we're there yet, but I think we need to work towards that goal first and then try to improve on the, and add new components, support CNF, create the flexibility at the data model level or the orchestration model and so on and so forth, right?
Yeah, and I think that's an important point. When you think about commercial deployments, not every service provider is going to use ONAP the same way. Some will use certain components and not others. Some will replace some of the components in ONAP with commercial components. It'll be a mix. You're right. You, if you have the modeling clean, then it makes it much easier for all the different components to work with it. Whereas if you have a lot of independent models, it becomes very inflexible to try mm-hmm. to reconfigure the system.
Yeah. That's right.
Actually, I don't believe that you can have modeling and architecture work in isolation. And I also think you really need component insights feeding the modeling, and you need the modeling stuff being able to give early guidance to the DTL community. I mean, it's just, we keep running into the types of changes we want to make are too late to do anything about because, you know, they haven't been communicated well to the modeling committee. And the modeling committee, we need insights from the PTLs. We need to know, does this work? And this stuff is all still tied together.
So now we have two co-chairs. That means they could do twice as much.
I like the way you think.
At the modeling committee level.
You're spot on. You're spot on, Shaka. We have to promote that.
That's right. Okay.
But regarding the... relation that Chesler brought up regarding the use cases. I also think a little bit that architecture, and I came across this also a little bit in the security, that it is also a kind of source of requirements that may, that has to be sort of clearly stated and brought through. And in some cases, we bring that directly into the community. In another case, actually, we brought that from SEPCOM into the 5G use case work that was related to that into SEPCOM there. So I think, but both are actually valid options. Depends on the nature of the conclusions that we have.
Okay. Okay, good. So I'll share the view graphs. Yeah, I'll upload them.
How do we go about working through the, do we agree what's an information model and a data model thing?
Well, let me think through it, right? And I want to run it by the architecture team as well as the modeling committee team, right? And trying to get a consensus as to how we should approach it, right? I think a brainstorm and discussion, it has to be outside the weekly meetings. I think a brainstorm session would probably be helpful. But before we get there, if I may, if anybody sees anything that I may have missed, or if anything that you disagree with that I listed on the view graphs, please send me an email. This was a proposal based on my knowledge. I believe I got most of it right. But if there's something that I missed, if you could correct it or send me an email, I'll make the correction. But it is critical for us to agree on at least this as a starting point, so any subsequent discussions can be a lot more meaningful.
I agree. So, I think we need some type of concept and terminology, capture. Yeah. We could even add that as a wiki, and we could start with here, because you've got one thing here is terminology, but the other thing is you're describing a bunch of concepts that we need to put names behind, and you have proposed names. You have a service instance that lives inside ANI. You have, so I think we can, we could agree that we have a discussion to agree are these the concepts we want to represent, of course, and then we need to find good namings for them, of course, which is an opinionated debate, but necessary.
So what I hear is this would be a good topic for Montreal.
Yes.
And I hear Shocker, Chesla, and Steve volunteering to put together something to at least lead the discussion.
I already did, though, Chris.
Yep. But for the next level with the IMD.
Yeah. It's easy for you to say that, right?
Uh-huh. I actually think Chris is hearing things.
Will there be teleconference facilities for Montreal?
Yeah, I'm assuming yes, there will be. But let me go back to Chris. I think that's a good point. I was kidding, though, but I think that's something that we should discuss in Montreal.
Okay. Just an additional thought here. So especially since the cloud native world is bringing a lot of value, I mean, essentially it's already having prescriptive data models and, you know, which are being used, right, in production in several cases. So I think that needs to be factored in some form.
Yeah.
Saying, hey, this is a little more than concepts and terminology, like, reflective of the practical implementations. And then that means, hey, in some cases, for example, we in a descriptor, rather than constructing completely a new data model, leverage what is available, right? You know, that aspect also. Yeah, I mean, I would say in my mind that needs to be done right away before even taking the next level as we are working on the concepts and terminology.
Mm-hmm.
Just a thought.
Agree.
Hey, Chris, there is something else. If you can extend your invitation to the modeling group, that would be really good for the Montreal meeting.
Okay, I will send that to Deng Hui and Andy Mayer, and they can take it from there.
But I suggest concentrating which topics would make sense and dedicating a particular time opens up for this, modeling participation.
The very same topic that we start with what Shaka presented, and then we expand on that if you have the confusion about IMDM, where the areas of the gap, and so on, so, okay?
No, that's fine. I was just sort of pointing out that if you forward a blanket invitation, if you forward an invitation towards specific slots, you're more likely to be successful in getting participation.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
Once we agree on, at least directionally, once we agree on what I just presented, I think what it would be helpful in the future is that when the modeling subcommittee is discussing a model change, it would be very helpful to then point out whether the change or the changes would impact this layer or this layer.
Right, and that's where we really need participation from the projects, which has been very hard to get.
Yeah, right. But that's, to me, that would be a very useful discussion to map the impact of the modeling committee discussion to a data model layer, if you will, whether the layer is at the component level or whether it is at the service level.
And I think coming to the architecture team, when you have those questions, might be a better way to get some of the projects involved, because we have good representation across the community with a number of PTLs on board. So if you are having that discussion and want some additional input, let me know or let the next chair know, and we can add you to the agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So this is Kenny. Just a data point on the Montreal meeting. I believe that we've got space for, if I'm not mistaken, like approximately 40 people, just as a point of reference.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Do we know how many people have raised this interest?
When we put out the doodle poll, we got 24. So we bumped it up to 40, expecting that there are some people that want to show up that didn't respond.
Yeah, I didn't respond, I don't want to show up, so I need to go
and do my homework. We will be setting up a registration page on that and also handling the visa letters.
Okay.
That's last week in October, right?
Yes.
Yes.
So it overlaps with MEF 18.
Yes. That was the best we could do. Any week we picked would overlap with something.
Yeah. But this is good. I think the whether I'm there or not, the discussion's important. And I agree that not only do we need to differentiate between the service and the resource level type things, but we also want to look at the use of the model, right? Is it the model for onboarding? Is it the model that's the design time model produced by SDC? Mm-hmm. Is it an instantiation time model? And then even after that, is there aspects of the model that are focused on runtime, including app config?
Yep.
Andy, would you agree though that once you've left the world of UML diagrams and stuff, and you're entering the world of CSARs and Tosca, you moved from information model to data model?
Right. Yeah. So what's in the Tosca? Sorry, what's in the CSAR can include Tosca and other artifacts that are all data model specific, but should reflect the semantics of what's defined in an information model.
Right. The information model is guiding what goes into that data model, but what that thing is a data model.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's expression of a data model. Yeah.
So the CSAR is really kind of a collection of data models and other artifacts.
Okay.
So can I just one comment? Do we have some unconference media I'm next week in the OS Europe.
We don't quite have critical mass on that, and I'm not sure even if we're going to have the call next week. We'll take that to email. Let's just do a quick poll. How many people are going to be at ONS Europe next week? I'll be there.
I'll be there.
Kenny says he will. Who else?
I'll be there.
Then we?
Yes, okay. Same here, me too. Yeah.
Okay. Anyone else on the call? No. Okay. I see some hands going Chris, up and some exits.
I think yes. Jamil is going to be there.
Steve? Yeah, I'll be there, Chris.
Okay, Raghu. Okay. So it sounds like a handful of people, but it doesn't sound like the vast majority. I'll take it to email to see if people want to get together or if people want to have a call next week, and we'll go from there.
Okay.
Anything else while we're still together? Otherwise, I'll break a little early. Okay, I will end the call about a half hour early. Thank you all. This was a really good discussion. I will post this up on the wiki later today when the recording is completed. I will send out more information about next week, and we'll take it from there. Thank you all. Talk to you soon.
Okay.
Great. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.